Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledger. He is Trevor Sikkema. 2-0, Trev. Can I call you that?
I'm not on the Buccaneers, but alliteration. You know, we love alliteration around here.
You can't tell me.
So I'm going to let you do it.
You can't tell me that Ryan Fitzpatrick in that post-game presser, the attire that he had on, his demeanor and look and everything, you can't tell me you had no impact on that. That is your brand to the max.
I enjoyed it. That was a lot of fun. For everybody that doesn't know, I don't know how you wouldn't know it.
Oh, they know.
He put on DeSean Jackson's jacket and his gold chains with the full chest hair out and the aviators for his post-game press conference, and it was the funniest. It was some of the funniest. I'll tell you, man, after watching the Bucs for the last 10 years and being able to cover him for the last couple of years, it is pretty cool to get to cover this kind of stuff instead, because over the last few years, and I know that's definitely part of like being a journalist, obviously being a sports journalist, you cover the good and the bad, you cover the negative and the positive, you got to write about both, and you always do. But man, I've written about the negative about the Buccaneers so much just over the last couple of years, and it's nice to have a change of pace. These guys are having so much fun. Obviously when you're winning, it's fun, but you can definitely see that they're doing some fun things like that. And so it's been a blast so far for me to cover and for me to tweet out some things on social media, maybe embellishing their wins a little bit, but it's a good time.
Well, I mean, yeah, I feel like Fitzpatrick is just, and you can say this is overstated and overrated in some ways, but I feel like he just has a positive effect on any locker room he goes into. Like,
he definitely does.
Everybody likes him. He knows how to lead people. Like, he knows the demeanor to have, how to call people out, he just seems like he gets it. That's why every team wants him to be their backup. I mean,
I don't think it's never been like a personal thing with Fitzpatrick at all. It's always just been this guy's got the ability, but he's just not nearly as consistent as he's needed to be.
Right.
Like, that's him over his entire course of his career. And we actually talked to him, you know, in the media earlier this week, and Fitz said to us, he's like, look, I'm the best quarterback I've ever been right now at age 35. You know, like, I've taken every single learning step or whatever opportunity or what, like a combination of whatever it is, I've taken that all into the guy that I am now. And sure, maybe I'm not as athletic or I don't have as much of an arm as maybe I used to, but he can obviously still throw the thing. He can obviously still scoot around. And so it's been fun covering a guy like Fitzpatrick. It's very enjoyable.
Yeah. I believe it, but this week I don't care because we are enemies.
And we people, are.
Listen, you can enjoy the. I just want you to enjoy it for the next 6 days. Wait, it's 7 days. 6 days. No, 7 days because it's a Monday night game. I'll give you a full 7 days. Just enjoy being undefeated. I'm not going to try and rain on your parade because there'll be plenty of that to do after the Steelers defeat the Buccaneers on Monday night.
Yeah, you don't even believe that yourself. It's fine. It's fine.
Actually, I don't.
You don't. I know you don't.
I told myself, I said I'm going to play it up for the podcast. I'm just going to not be me, and I'm just going to act like, talk trash and just act like I believe that Monday night will result in a Steeler victory.
All right. So tell me a little about the Steelers' last 2 weeks. Tell me about their last 2 weeks.
Well, they tied the Browns because the Browns can't kick and because they're the Browns and because Tyrod Taylor's literally afraid to throw the football down the field. So he just held onto it, ran around, and they sacked him like 180 times. They didn't even touch Patrick Mahomes today or yesterday. What's that?
Versus Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, right.
Future MVP.
Here's the thing. We are for sure going to claim Patrick Mahomes as our son on this show. I don't care whether we had him QB3 or not. We're going to claim him as our son. And if you question it, anybody out there, just prepare to be blocked from the podcast.
He's fun, man. Now, I noticed, I think that game was going on while I was still in the press box. So I was only kind of catching pieces of it. And I saw plenty of highlights of it, too. But, you know, even of the throws that he made, I think he completed, what was it, 20 of 26 throws or something, and six of them just happened to be
28 for 326 yards and six touchdowns.
Of them happened to be touchdowns, which is an outrageous percentage.
Right.
But, you know, I even saw, though, there are a couple of throws where maybe they weren't exactly where they needed to be ball-wise, but you could just see the arm talent on this kid on all of his touchdowns. Right.
And we knew that part. We've known that part forever.
Even the one where he was kind of like fading away, for him to like get the ball in there between those two coverages and throw it to a spot rather than to throw it to a wide receiver, you just see that's such a great thing of growth to see for Patrick Mahomes. And obviously it's led him to have the production that he has had. Dude, that Steelers Bucks game, it's basically going to be like whoever scores 40 points
I hope wins. So. I hope you know? So. I'm here for that. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a blast. It'll be a shootout, I think. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. I know people will want to hear us talk about that on Thursday's show when we pick the game. It's going to be a much debated topic who's going to come out victorious in this game. But rookies who stood out to us is kind of our focus, at least on Monday shows usually. And I got to backtrack to Thursday Night Football because we didn't really get to talk about it because Fan Friday, mm-hmm. we didn't really get a question about it. But Jesse Bates for the Bengals looks like the real freaking deal, man. He's got range, ball skills. He's instinctive. He already had one. He had one interception. He would have had a second interception. He broke on a ball. They were playing. I'm pretty sure it was cover two. Might have been Tampa two, and they were trailing the linebacker down the middle of the field, and they threw down the middle of the field, and he had John Brown open. Joe Flacco had him in. Bates came off his cover two zone and broke on the ball. Wasn't even in his territory necessarily, and the ball went right through his hands. It would have been a second interception in the game, but just an awesome play.
Yep.
A guy that I think is going to be an absolute stud safety, the way he looks so far.
Safety, so much of the safety position is almost just like you get it or you don't. You know, mm-hmm. like you can have all kinds of film study. You can have guys teach you what to look at. But honestly, man,
it's a feel. You got to have a feel.
You just know a good safety when you see it. And I thought that Jesse Bates was really good instinctually when he was coming out. I really liked that part of his game. I was kind of worried about his size. I thought he would get bullied a little bit in the NFL, but
yeah,
it's good to see that he's still making plenty of an impact, at least early on, you know?
And I think I've almost ruled out tackling for single high free safety type of guys. Like,
you just don't even care.
Not ruled it out, but like, yeah, you'd have to be pretty bad, I think. Like, if you have great ball skills and range and coverage ability, you know, like, uh-huh. I think you'd have to be pretty to get me concerned. And that's why, like, Bates, man, he missed a lot of tackles in college. Like, and he just, like, straight up, it wasn't like miss like Justin Evans, for example, when he take, like, bad angles and stuff like that. But his Bates were more like he just couldn't bring guys down 1v1. And so, yeah, I worried about that a little bit too. But now I'm like, maybe I shouldn't weight it as much because, like, when you can cover and play the ball like he could in college, and you know, it's just like,
yeah, but it's kind of situational, obviously. Like, yeah. we can sit here and praise him for making the play in coverage, and we can go, eh, hey, you know, if he's getting takeaways like that, the tackling doesn't matter. It's like, okay, true, but in 2 weeks, you know, there's going to be a play where he gets absolutely trucked by somebody, and you go, ah, that could have been a stop for a third down or something, or blah, whatever, blah blah blah. And so, obviously, takeaways mean more than other things. That's why having a knack for ball skills, and we emphasize that so much, and being comfortable getting the ball in your hands, switching the sides is really a big deal, but it is situational, I think. You know, right. we'll pick and choose things like that all the time. It's natural.
So we were waiting last week for a receiver that was a rookie receiver to show out and do something worthwhile. We didn't really even say, I mean, no, I shouldn't say worthwhile. There were some okay performances, but remember, this has been a big topic of conversation for us, like, who's the first rookie that's going to step up and you know, really kind of take control of the receiving group. You know, last year was Cooper Kupp and Juju Smith-Schuster, and you know, I mean, Smith-Schuster was great and he's continued to be a star, and Kupp is a solid receiver, but like, you know, it wasn't like 2014, so we're waiting for some receiver to emerge, and it didn't really happen in week 2 either, man. Like, we're still just kind of waiting. Like, there just hasn't been any big emergence of any receiving. I mean, Calvin Ridley had a good game. Certainly, I thought that he did some good things out there, but I don't know, man. I mean, what is it that's making it so hard for that position to acclimate to the NFL? I think
when you I just go think back there's a lot matters, of receivers.
Yeah, there are. Right? When you go back to what matters, like, it's like, okay, well, what translates quickly? And like, okay, Calvin Ridley, 4 catches, 64 yards now, and Dante Pettis had a second solid game. Nobody's like taken over in terms of volume and tons of splash plays and everything, but both those guys really look like the best two right now, and they're what? Super nuanced route runners who could win inside and outside, knew how to get off the line of scrimmage, and knew how to run a wide variety of routes. So small sample size, obviously, but haven't we seen this be the case? Not a lot of raw talent wide receivers working out recently. I don't know if that's because the NFL can't develop them, and I know we're early in the season, so I'm not going to say, like, you know, certain guys aren't going to work out, you know, like Cortland Sutton, for example. Like, I'm not going to say he's not going to work out. He's looked pretty good from everything I've heard, but I think it is telling that the early impact guys at receiver, even if they're a little bit more limited in other ways, I mean, Ridley's weight was a concern. Pettis is super small. I mean, re-interviewing him, I was like, man, he's so small. Like, it just is, everything, his frame, not even just his height, but he's just, he's just a small build. And right, I was like, man, right, I'm a little worried about this. But it seems like that stuff and being cerebral as a route runner has translated really well to the NFL.
No, I agree. That's you've got to be able to do that. It's hard to not be versatile in that area, especially, I guess, as we're talking about the topic of getting early playing time, right? That's a really big deal. You've got to be able to show versatility, because we're seeing more teams around the NFL use their wide receivers in unorthodox ways. Like, you'll see guys like a Mike Evans or a Julio Jones or a Larry Fitzgerald or something. They'll, like, go in the slot, right? And then, you know, whoever's manning their outside spot, you still want them to be valuable. So you've got to be able to, I think, have some sort of a expertise at short inside routes, longer outside routes, things like that. And obviously, at the, you know, there are plenty of guys who specialize in things that they do better than others. But I mean, the two that you're saying right now that are showing out are two guys that are pretty diverse in what they do in route running. And so I agree with you. I think that route running is a really big deal, especially for early playing time. If you can't run most of the route tree, I'll just say this. It is really hard for an NFL head coach to put anybody on the field that is limited in any way.
Because that's true.
The league is already mismatch heavy enough.
Right.
You cannot handcuff yourself by putting in a guy who the defense can look at and go, okay, we know exactly how to erase that. Right. You can't, you just can't have that happen.
Right. And two guys that I think were more raw but have still made splash plays this week that I think you'll be excited about. Antonio Callaway, Gator Great.
My man.
Kind of Gator Great. Rejected Gator Gate?
Oh, no, he's a Gator Great. 100%.
Okay, all right. They kicked him out, so, I mean, I don't know.
No. Jim McElwain.
Oh, that's right. Jim McElwain rules. Yeah. You overlooked that. Yeah, he made a great catch. He got behind the Saints defense. I haven't seen the wide-angle shot of it yet and see how it happened, but he caught the pass that tied the game for the Browns. Then they missed the extra point. Then they let the Saints have too much time. They drove down. Saints kicked the game-winning field goal. Then the Browns still somehow got in position for the game-winning field goal and missed it. So sad days for the Cleveland Browns, but Antonio Callaway, bright spot in the midst of all the Josh Gordon stuff that's going on right now. But can I also say, in the same vein of evaluating these guys as rookies, and by the way, the other guy I was going to mention was DJ Moore for the Panthers, had a 51-yard touchdown as well. That was mostly a catch-and-run type of deal, which he broke a tackle on.
So basically exactly what DJ Moore was drafted for.
Right, exactly. But imagine, I will say,
your players in situation to succeed.
Actually, it wasn't a manufactured touch. I think that's how you're maybe envisioning it. But he was actually.
Oh, was it not?
No, it was a shot down the field. I think it looked like a dig route. I only saw it once. It looked like a dig route or something in the middle of the field against zone coverage. He caught it uncontested, then turned upfield. Two guys hit him and, like, basically ran into each other almost. And then he stayed up and just outran everybody else to the end
zone. Yeah, but how deep was the dig route?
I want to say 20 yards.
Oh, okay. That's
I want to say something like that. Yeah, it was late in the game. Falcons were playing soft coverage, you know, trying to leave the middle of the field open and make a tackle, and they didn't make the tackle. So that's what went wrong there. But I think that those guys, you know, getting themselves open has been a little bit more difficult for those guys. Callaway didn't really play much, I don't think, in the first game. I'm sure that'll change now with Gordon about to be gone. But I do think that that's been somewhat of an issue for Moore, which I kind of envisioned coming out that he would be a little bit of a quieter starter. So excited to see Anthony Miller tomorrow. But back to Antonio Callaway. In the same vein of evaluating and talking about rookies, is the worst thing that could have happened for the Browns, not just because they lost, but Well, mostly because they lost, yeah. But the Tyrod Taylor finally threw the football down the field when it was too late.
Why is it the worst thing that could happen for him?
Because now it's justification for keeping Baker on the bench. And the only way this organization takes the next step is to play Baker freaking Mayfield.
Well, yeah, but it's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
They're going to play.
They are
Baker
talented
is never
right
going
to
play right away.
They are talented right
No, they're
now.
Not. They can't
yes, they
make
are.
Enough field goals.
They won't have to worry about field goals if Baker's playing. They should have won today. They should have won. They should have beat Pittsburgh. They should be 2-0. Yes, the kicker's been an issue,
listen.
But Tyrod's been the issue. And then I will give him credit. He made throws at the end of this game, so that's going to push the Baker thing off. But Tyrod is who he is. He's going to go back to being who he was next week, and they're going to be super limited. At one point, he was like 16 of 19 for 84 yards or something stupid. Like, he won't throw the ball down the field. Like, he just won't. He won't take any chances with the ball. And so
I've always thought that, like, this year just doesn't matter anyways, because the Browns don't matter until they get rid of Hugh Jackson. So
that's from our perspective, yes, because I don't think we believe that they're really.
And so, like, in my head, Baker's going to start eventually this year. He's going to start enough to where next year he'll obviously be the starting quarterback, and that's when it will actually matter.
But
if
I
you ask
see
me,
him now. I'm impatient.
Well, you are a selfish man.
Show me the lie.
You got to be patient with the demise of Hugh Jackson.
I'm so sick of it. Just get him out of here.
You're the one who watched Hard Knocks. I didn't even watch Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks wasn't even as bad as literally everything he did in Hard Knocks. People were like, this guy's an idiot. Like, I was like, okay, like, some of this stuff is normal. Like, you guys don't have to rip on everything he does. But yeah, I mean, okay, so we got to talk about this. Enough of Hugh Jackson, because this is just insane to me. Because this is, I mean, we knew this was going to happen, dude. This running back class, totally heralded, crazy hype. Obviously, tons of guys. I mean, some guys have gotten hurt already. I get that. But, like, Nick Chubb's got, like, 5 carries out here. Guess who is far and away the leading rookie rusher right now? Far and away. Just guess.
Is it Saquon?
No. It ain't Saquon.
Who am I forgetting? Who am I forgetting? It's
You're
not Ronald Jones, because Ronald
that
Jones
wasn't drafted. Philip Lindsay. He is
29
carries for 178 yards. He's averaging over 6 yards a carry. Yeah, in this running back group, dude. In this running back group. That's what's happening. Saquon went into tonight's game against the Cowboys with 100, or last night's game against the Cowboys with 106 yards on the ground. And unless I missed a run at the end of the game, he'll be second. Yeah, he had 11 carries for 28 yards against the Cowboys. And honestly, it was a hard work to get him 28 yards. So, but he caught 14 passes for 80 yards. So there you go, 14 catches. So Barkley's doing things in a versatile fashion like you hoped you would. But
all right, Philip Lindsay? I just looked up Philip Lindsay's mock draft.
He's like 5'6".
What would you say he is in the percentile of NFL running backs?
Of size wise?
Yes.
He is in like the 10th percentile or something, right?
Okay, he's in the 4th percentile.
Oh my gosh.
What about weight? What about weight for a running back? What percentile would you say?
What is he? Second percentile. First.
He is in the second percentile.
Oh my gosh.
He is 5'7", 185.
This man is stealing the show. This man is stealing. And I don't say the show as in like lowercase. I say it in capital letters, because this was supposed to be, and it probably still will be, the year of the running back. Like, this was supposed to be the group that brought the NFL back. No, maybe not completely to the run game, but it was supposed to make it a more, and I mean, almost across the board. I mean, I know Sony Michel just saw his first action, and Nick Chubb can't get on the field over a couple different guys. The Lions can't run the ball even if they wanted to, so it's hard to really judge Kerryon Johnson. Royce Freeman's also been great. Suddenly, Denver's got 2 rookie running backs that are tearing it up. Royce Freeman's like the 4th-ranked rookie rusher right now. He's 99 yards. He's averaging 4.3 yards per carry. So he's been good. Jordan Wilkins was, what, a fifth-round pick? He's third in rookie rushing. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
101
crazy,
yards
man.
Rushing for Jordan Wilkins. He's averaging 4.2 yards per carry. He just had a great game.
So what you're saying is that the Bucs should have drafted Phillip Lindsay over Ronald Jones.
What I'm saying is Phillip Lindsay was RB1 and Saquon Barkley wasn't.
You know, that's why we had Saquon as RB2, folks.
But like,
wait, what did you have Saquon as?
RB2.
Was he RB2?
Yeah.
Was he RB2?
Yeah,
okay, RB2. Okay. I just couldn't remember.
And obviously, poor one out. We're upset that Geis is not here. But like, I mean, your boy Rashad Penny, not your boy, because I know you don't actually care for him. But he's out here with 7 attempts for 8 yards. I mean, first round running back. Obviously, way too small a sample size to judge him off of, but all this kind of speaks to what we always say, stop drafting running backs high because, like, Phillip Lindsay can go ball out for your team and he's undrafted. Like, and
it just
who knows
doesn't
if
make
it'll
sense.
Continue. It, you know, I mean, I'm sure there'll be some regression of the mean, and I'm sure that at the end of the year, Phillip Lindsay won't have more yards than Saquon Barkley. But
don't draft running backs. Don't draft just, running backs.
Right. Just don't. Like,
don't do it.
I mean, I'm
it
watching
make
Pittsburgh
sense.
With a running back that, and now I'm not saying everybody with James Conner's college profile could do this, but like James Conner could not do any, like the things that he is doing right now in Pittsburgh never happened on his college tape. He never looked this explosive. He never was this agile in space. What I want you to look up James Conner's spin move. Somebody probably posted it on Twitter or just watch the Steeler game. And about like, I think it was in the first quarter, it was in the second quarter, I think. And he hits a spin move on a guy and he gets at two guys, had him dead to rights. 3 yards from the line of scrimmage on a dump off play. And he got 30 yards out of it. He had one of the nastiest spin moves I ever seen in space. And somehow got away from these guys. I mean, if Barkley did it, it would be the number one play of the year. Like, it would be that type of play.
Wow, I just typed in James Conner spin move on Twitter. And none of you cowards put a video up.
See? Well, what about just James Conner? Because we may not.
None of you cowards put James the video up.
Well, here's the thing with James Conner that's mind-blowing to me. No, he – yeah.
All right,
wait.
One-handed jumper.
No, did you see the one-handed catch?
I'm watching it right now. Oh, my gosh!
Right. Okay. That isn't even the play I'm talking about. So he made two plays, and now that was technically not – I think it was either ruled incomplete. There was pass interference on that play, so it didn't end up mattering. But I don't know. He didn't get his second foot down or his first foot hit down, and I think his second foot hit out of bounds before his knee hit down, like a fraction of a second or whatever. But just to make the catch. Like, did you ever see James Conner do anything in college that made you think he would ever make a play like that?
His ACC Rookie of the Year tape was actually really good. But,
yeah, but not like I'm a super human freak athlete, one-handed catches over my head down the sideline type of running back.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That was never him. So I just draft guys with traits, man. Like, and you don't have to draft.
And don't draft running backs.
Because, like, right now, to be honest, the Steelers have a million things wrong, and Le'Veon Bell's one you don't even care about. And, like, Le'Veon Bell's probably the best running back in the league. And right now, it doesn't even matter that he's not here. Like,
it's weird, man.
The only thing that it makes a difference in right now is that maybe pass protection here and there. But even that, Connor's improved at. And he's obviously willing and big enough. So it's just a matter of nailing down the assignments. So, I mean, he's been unbelievable as a receiver. He's been great as a running back. He's certainly done everything that Le'Veon would have done in those situations. And I say that as a guy who loves Le'Veon. It's just the way that it is. So running backs, I just – every year I become more and more convinced, like – I just don't see the type of impact, or you see the type of impact just across the board. You know, Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara are better than Leonard Fournette. I think that matters.
Yeah.
Pass rushers, before we wrap up this pod, has not been a lot of juice or a lot of splash so far from the 2018 pass rush group. I don't say there hasn't been a lot of, there hasn't been good play from
the
group. There has.
Who are some of the guys who've been getting playing time?
Chubb's been getting playing time. He had half a sack last week. I don't think he had anything this week.
Okay.
I think Landry played a little bit today, but I know he didn't play or yesterday, but I think he didn't play the first week.
Landry had a nasty pass rush move against the Bucs when they played in the preseason.
Oh,
so
I
looked at that and I'm just like, man, it's just a matter of time with this dude.
Jannard Avery played well against the Steelers. I didn't see any of his game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he played really well against Steelers.
Yo, I was Jannard Avery Hive, man.
Yeah, me too. So I wanted the Steelers to take him in the third round, and instead they took Mason frickin' Rudolph, who can't beat out Josh Dobbs and can't even get a helmet on game days. And they took Chuck Wumo Okorafor for the tackle. So
imagine a Steelers team with Jesse Bates and Jannard Avery.
Thanks, dude. Wow. Really awesome of you to bring that up. Really cool. Unbelievable. I have to watch Darius Leonard this week, by the way, because Colts Twitter is about to tar and feather me because he had 18 tackles today, which means 18, which means nothing to me, but it will mean something to me if within the context of the tape.
A lot of check down passes. That's what I'm telling you.
That's very true.
A lot of check down passes.
Check down, Captain check down Alex Smith was out there giving him some easy tackles underneath, I think. But, I mean, I'm sure hopefully he did some good things. I literally haven't seen 1 second of him play. I saw a little bit of him in the preseason, but not anything to like about. Like, I couldn't even say my opinion of him since he's been in the NFL. So I'm studying him up tomorrow. I'm going to write about him for the Draft Network. He and Philip Lindsay are guys we got to have pieces on this week. Like, this is crazy that Philip Lindsay's just taking this running back class by storm right now. And we got, I mean, Leonard, we already wrote about Fred Warner, but the linebacker group looks really good, but it's not the guys you expected either. So it's just fun. I mean, like, Roquan's going to get out there, obviously, once he gets a little more practice time under his belt. I'm sure he'll play tonight a good bit. But, you know, reality is, like, there's some mid-round guys really stealing the spotlight right now at some of these positions.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jannard Avery may be another one of those guys. So it's always
good for them.
How it works out.
Good for them.
Yeah, I agree. I'm here for it. What about defensive back play secondary-wise? Denzel Ward's an absolute stud. I mean, some guys just have that look, to have that feel to me. Mike Hughes from Minnesota's been good. It's been a pretty solid. I'm trying to think who's the Packers guys. So here's what I did. I know Kirk Cousins threw for like 400 some yards today, and I watched like the big completions in that game, and they were almost all on. Well, who's number 31? Davin House back there? I think he's back in Green Bay, maybe, or maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, it wasn't on King, it wasn't on Jackson, it wasn't on Alexander most of the plays. It was on House Kid or Tremont Williams, freaking ancient Tremont Williams still hanging around. Why those guys are playing when you drafted three guys in the top 50 or whatever in the last year, 2 years to play corner, I have no idea. But it seemed like most of the big plays were on those guys, so made me feel a little better about Jair and Josh Jackson. But I'll have to check out a little more because the Packers defense certainly got absolutely shredded through the air after all that talk about their corners against Mitchell Trubisky. Kirk Cousins kind of exposed some leaks. So a lot to watch and look for in the group, but really the guys you hope would be good have been good so far for the most part. So, and Derwin and Minka have been exceptional. Those guys and Bates have been great. Got to get more eyes on Justin Reed. I know PFF graded Reed very highly for the first week. Sometimes I have mixed feelings about PFF grades, but player grades anyway. But I will say that I thought that was interesting that they gave him those good grades, but I haven't gotten to see his tape yet. So far, good returns for the safety group, which we expected, right? I mean, Derwin and Minka being bus would really have shocked us, I think, right?
No, that was never going to happen.
Yeah, so fun week for the rookies. Still waiting for kind of that, like, rookie of the year type moment to emerge for some of these guys. Hoping Baker and Rosen get on the field soon. Fingers crossed. Be fun to see all those guys out there. We have to talk about Josh Allen's performance on a different day because I have to sit down and do it justice. I know people on Twitter were ripping, and the box score certainly looks bad, but I don't want to be that, like, confirmation bias guy. I want to actually look at how he played. Yes, it was very rough his first game, week one, but he came in mid-game, and so I want to just sit down and look at his tape and, you know, come in with actual perspective rather than just trying to say I was right. Pre-draft, I was right. I mean, I probably was, but...
If you do say so yourself.
Yeah, right. Okay, so there your kind of little rookie snapshot as how the week went. Tomorrow we talk about a lot of the prospects who stood out to us this past weekend and kind of where we're heading with this college football season. A couple of these guys, we're talking quarterbacks tomorrow. I'm just going to be honest with you. We got a lot to talk about with Jarrett Stidham and Dwayne Haskins and Drew Locke's performance, Justin Herbert. There's going to be a lot to discuss. It's going to be a lot of fun. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.